Deuteronomy chapter 22. We're going to finish this chapter. We've got a large chunk we have to do here. If you're keeping an outline, this is number 7, honoring personal purity. Honoring personal purity. Since the Lord is the one that created the physical relationship, which I'm talking about sex, of course, since he created it, he certainly has a right to control the way we use it. God's will and plan has always been, bless you, sex within the bounds of marriage, always. And when you think about it, I mean, it makes sense. Let's say teenagers get involved, which I was never a fan of, and as a matter of fact, the girls did not do it. They did not one-on-one date when they were in their early teens. A lot of parents, they'll let a 13-year-old go out with a boy and off they go. And no, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. Of course, that's personal decision between the parents and the kids. But they would go in group things, but not individual dating until they were 16 or so, okay? And then that was very limited. Normally they were in groups. But think about the emotional. When a 13-year-old is actually, quote-unquote, dating, and everyone that we date, we're going to end up breaking up with until we end up marrying somebody. Would you agree with that? So the more involved a young person gets, and if they get into the physical side of things, then breakups become immensely more difficult. Does that make sense? Not only that, but when you marry someone that is given that precious one-time gift, it's a one-time gift you offer your spouse when you get married, and if you've given it to somebody else, your one-time precious gift, can't get it back. Now you have baggage. Think about the baggage that young people and other older people have put upon themselves because of that one fact. We didn't follow God's rules. Have you ever noticed that when we follow God's rules, things always work out better? And we don't have pain and agony in areas that we should not have pain and agony in if we just listen to God. So God is the one that created it. God says no sex outside of marriage. Both the Old and the New Testaments agree, and they both stress personal purity and the importance of honesty and loyalty in marriage. So let's look in verses 13 through 21 at number 1, the slandered wife. We got 18 verses here, so if I can have 3 volunteers to read, and I say 18 verses because we're going to go ahead and read through the end of the chapter. But if I could have somebody read verses 13 through 18, volunteer, 13 through 18, Colleen, and then 19 through 24, Billy, and then we've got to have Tater read, so you read 25 through 30. Did I do that right? 1, 2, 3, 4. Yes, I can't believe it. All right, 25 through 30. All right, go ahead, Colleen, you read first.
If any man take a wife and go unto her and hate her and give occasion of speech against her, bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity into the elders of the city in the gate. Am I supposed to do 17, 16?
Through 13 through 18.
Wife, and speech against her, saying, I found not thy daughter a maid, and yet these are the tokens of my daughter's virginity. And they shall spread the cloth before the elders of the city. And the elders of the city, of that city, shall take that man and chastise him.
And they shall find him 100 shekels of silver, and give them to the father of the young woman, because he has brought a bad name on a virgin of Israel. And she shall be his wife. He cannot divorce her all his days.
Ephraim? 19 through 24.
But if the thing is true, and evidences of virginity are not found for the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of the city shall stone her to death with stones, because she has done a disgraceful thing in Israel, to play the harlot in her father's house. So you shall put away the evil from among you. If a man is found lying with a woman married to her husband, then both of them shall die, the man that lay with the woman and the woman. So you shall put away the evil from Israel. If a young woman who is a virgin is betrothed to her husband, and a man finds her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, the young woman because she did not cry out in the city, and the man because he humbled his neighbor's wife. So you shall put away the evil from among you.
But if a man find a betrothed damsel in the field, and the man force her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But unto the damsel thou shalt do nothing. There is in this damsel no sin worthy of death. For as when a man riseth against his neighbor and slayeth him, even so is this matter. For he found her in the field and betrothed, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her, and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her. He may not put her away all his days. A man shall not take his father's wife, nor discover his father's skirt.
All right. Thank you, three, for doing the reading. In Israel, especially to maintain the integrity of the family, the sexual purity of women was very important. One thing for certain that was in the forefront of their thinking was making sure that there was not an illegitimate son that would be the one that would carry on the name of the family. So we find some rules here about marriage first. A man marries a woman. Notice in the Bible it's always a man marrying a woman. And they go to consummate the marriage. And back then, because of what we're going to read about, the woman would often lay down a cloth so that she would have proof that she was a virgin when they got married. Because if the man ended up, I don't really like this woman, and all he had to do was accuse her of, well, she wasn't a virgin. And if there was no proof, well, there's a new problem, wasn't there? So let's look at the scripture in verse number 13. So the man goes into the woman and hates her because of what he discovers, and give occasions of speech, or, of course, talking about accusing her of misconduct, and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman. When I came to her, I found her not a maid. I mean, she wouldn't get his slippers. She wouldn't bring him coffee. No, wait a minute. Maid. No, maid here means virgin. Didn't find her a virgin. Trying to add a little humor there just to keep you awake. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens or the evidence of the damsel's virginity unto the elders. So they would bring that cloth or if it was a bedclothes of some kind, something to demonstrate that she was a virgin. And it would seem like, of course, that could be fake somehow, don't you think? You kind of wonder how that would really work. But, I mean, you could go out and slit your lamb's throat or something, put blood on there. But anyway, that's another problem for another time. Now, one of the reasons, just to pause there, one of the reasons why this was so essential, why it was such a big deal, again, what if she was sexually active before they consummated the marriage? She could already be pregnant, right? Then the name of, you know, everything's messed up. This was a big deal back then. Today we shrug it off, no big deal. No, it was a super big deal back in Bible days. And of course it should be today as well. So a wise wife would use a marriage cloth on her wedding night. And then we find out what happens if indeed it was true that she wasn't a virgin, or what happens if the man lied about it because he decided he didn't like her. He hated her for whatever reason. So the damsel's father would say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hates her. And lo, he hath given occasions of speech. He has accused her of misconduct, saying that I found not thy daughter a maid or a virgin, and yet these are the tokens or the evidence of my daughter's virginity, and they shall spread the cloth. Some translations have cloak before the elders of the city, and the elders, which would speak of some kind of night garment. Not a cloak like you think of, put your coat on, go outside, of course. And the elders of that city shall take the man and whip him. That's literally what it means. Discipline and whip him. And they shall fine him 100 shekels of silver, give them unto the father of the wife, because he hath brought up a bad or an evil name upon a virgin of Israel, and she shall be his wife. He may not put her away all his days. Now, we might say in our day, well, that seems like it's a punishment for her. Why does she have to stay with a man like this? But you got to go back to the time frame. What would she do? You see, she'd be in a real pickle, because now she's been with a man. She ends up divorced or whatever. And there were stigmas back then. Things were a lot different back in those days. And so it ultimately hurt her much worse if she was not married to this particular man, though it seems foreign to the way we think. But if the thing was true and the tokens, the evidence of virginity were not found for her, then they shall bring out the damsel to the door of her father's house. You may wonder, well, why does this have to happen in front of her father's house? Because her sin was committed when she was under still the roof of her father. So he bore some responsibility, which means that it's important that a father be a father, and a mother be a mother, because the mother was included here as well. So we have to do everything in our power, even today, though the punishment is not what we find here, of course. But in the eyes of God, it's still a sin. So we have to do everything we can as parents to keep our children pure. And I pray for my, especially Abby, that she will remain pure. Every night I pray, God, keep Abby pure. Because, you know, men are pigs. I am one, I know. Come on, guys, you know you are. We're pigs. So, well, you might be, but I'm not. Well, good, you're one of the few that is not a pig. You know, I trusted my girls. I didn't trust the men, the boys. Because I know what boys are like, because I am one. I told him about all the tricks. Well, if you really loved me, you know, if I told him, if they say that, number one, you know immediately they don't love you. Yes, ma'am.
If he loved her, he wouldn't ask her.
Exactly. So I told him, I said, slap him in the face and get out of the vehicle wherever you are and call me. When I was a lot young, of course, now they're all married, but back when the girls were in that age, I told them, one of the rules, if anyone is ever going to date you, they're going to have to whip me first. And back then, I was pretty stout. But I didn't have to. I didn't whip anybody. Or they didn't. You know, we didn't fight. And now I have. Look, I got George. I mean, does it get any better than him? David's awesome. And my new son-in-law, he seems to be all right. He's all right. But George is like cream of the crop. Yeah. I know that no one else has favorite son-in-laws and all that stuff, and daughter-in-laws. No one has favorites. But that means you lie, because you know you do, don't you? No, I love them all the same, and I have no faith. Yeah, right. Okay, you just go ahead and keep trying to convince yourself. So if the man lied, he was beaten and he was fined twice the bride price, the dowry. Verse 19, of course, we looked at that. Verse number 29, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father's 50 shekels. And that's another circumstance. We'll get to that here in a minute. All right, so if the woman indeed had had sex before marriage, then they bring the damsel to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her with stones that she die. Because she hath wrought folly in Israel. And this would have been called an outrageous thing that she had done. Yes, sir.
Question. Okay, so they fine this guy 100 shekels of silver. I mean, that could pretty much ruin him, right? I mean, that's a lot of money.
I forget now. A shekel, I think, was that a day's wage? I can't remember. How much a shekel was.
Was there two different kinds of shekels?
Huh?
I thought shekels were like large amounts.
I don't know. No, they're not huge, huge. I can't remember off the top of my head. But, yeah, it would be, it's a large amount of money.
And then.
A large amount of money.
This gets given to her father, but yet she still marries him.
Yeah.
So now they're poor and she's still.
Hey. You got to pay the price, brother. Got to pay the price.
I know.
Yeah. All right, so then she stoned to death because she's wrought folly. To play the whore. Love the KJV way of wording things. To play the whore in her father's house. In other words, while she was under the roof of her parents. So shalt thou put evil, or this outrageous thing, away from you. Purging evil was important. We see it over and over in Deuteronomy, don't we? Purging evil. And then we enter into something else. When a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband. So there's a woman and a man. She's married and they're committing adultery. They both die. Both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou purge or put away this evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed, though you have an engaged woman, and a man find her or meet her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out into the gate of the city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel, because she didn't cry out. In other words, she was party to it. She was willing, okay? She didn't scream, holler, try to get some help. She just took it. Being in the city and the man, because he hath humbled or violated his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away, or again, purge evil from among you. But if a man find a engaged woman in the field, and the man force himself on her and lie with her, then the man only that lay with her shall die. But the damsel, because she was out in the boonies, and she probably screamed and cried and hollered, but no one heard her because they were out in the boonies. And so the man would die. But the woman did nothing worthy of death. And then he gave another example. This case would be like a man rising against his neighbor and killing him. Even so is this matter. For he found her in the field, and the betrothed damsel cried, and there was none to save her. If a man find a damsel that is a virgin, which is not betrothed, and lay hold on her and lie with her, and they be found, then the man that lay with her shall give unto the damsel's father 50 shekels of silver, and she shall be his wife. And again, you say, wait a minute, he rapes the woman and the woman has to marry the guy? Again, the stigma. And what would happen to that woman? It was actually protecting the woman. Doesn't sound like it in our terminology, the way we think, but it was actually, God was protecting the woman. Things were a little different back then, weren't they? Today, of course, man would be in a heap of trouble unless, of course, they were in some liberal, crime-hating city. They'd let him out after a week or whatever. Maybe never arrest him. I don't know. Yes?
Do you think it ever happened that the woman would basically cry wolf out in the field? You know?
Probably.
Blame a guy that she didn't like and say, hey, you raped, or did they?
Yeah.
Like, did
they, I mean, it happens today, right?
And then he didn't do anything. She just didn't like him. And then
yeah.
He gets killed.
Sure. It could happen. Yeah. Then the man that gives 50 shekels of silver, she shall be his wife, because he hath humbled her, violated her. He may not divorce her ever. And then verse 30, a man shall not take his father's wife. Remember the sin, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, talking about a stepmother. Okay, not talking about his mother, but stepmother. And, of course, the individual in 1 Corinthians 5 later repented. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, hey, you need to forgive and restore this guy. He's repented. This was, and nor uncover his father's skirt or nakedness. So these were things that were forbidden. Adultery, rape, incest. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 11, the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. As a matter of fact, this sin was so bad that in Deuteronomy 27, we'll be there shortly, verse number 20, it's one of the sins. And there were major sins that were condemned on Mount Ebal. All right, questions or comments before we move on to the next chunk? Anybody? All right, now we're going to look at more miscellaneous laws that are put into categories that were important to the life of the nation of Israel. And they also, for our sake, illustrate spiritual truths that are important for us. So this would be number 8, if you're keeping an outline, various laws, 23:1 through 25:19, 23:1 through 25:19, and this, we are still following Warren Wiersbe's outline. I want to give him the credit that's due him. He took a lot of these things that are redundant and put them together for us, so we can deal with subject matter rather than go through something, and then something else, and then something else. And then we're back to what we dealt with back then. He kind of lumps it together, makes it a little easier to study. So various laws, and then underneath that, entering the assembly. Entering the assembly. What we just finished, by the way, I gave you number one underneath honoring personal purity, the slandered wife. That is 13 through 21. Then number two, adultery, 22 through 24. This is the last chapter, 22, okay? Adultery, 22 through 24. Number three was rape, 25 through 29. Rape, 25 through 29. And number four was incest, verse 30. Incest, verse 30. And I just saw another couple of verses I want to read real quick out of Leviticus. Leviticus 18, 7 and 8. Leviticus 18. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. All right. So obviously in the very, very worst, I mean the most ungodly case, it could actually be the mother, as well as, of course, stepmother. Both would be condemned. All right, so we're going to look at various laws entering the assembly. Let's look first at chapter 23, verses 1 through, and I'm tempted not to do it, but we got a little bit of time. Let's go ahead and get started. 23, 1 through 8. Somebody want to read those? 23, 1 through 8. Gary, go ahead.
He that is wounded in his stones or has his private member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to his 10th generation shall he not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. Even to their 10th generation shall they not enter into the congregation of the Lord forever, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt, because they hired against thee Balaam, the son of Beor, Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God will not hearken to Balaam. The Lord thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because the Lord thy God loved thee. Thou shalt not seek their peace nor their prosperity all the days forever. Thou shalt not abhor an Ebionite, for he is thy brother. Thou shalt not abhor an Egyptian, because thou wast a stranger in his land. The children that are begotten of them shall enter into the congregation of the Lord in their third generation.
All right, thank you. So, something to think about before we look at these various verses and beyond what we read today. Sometimes Moses has all of Israel in mind, and sometimes in several of these instances, he's thinking of only the worshiping community. In other words, some of these people could live in the land, but they could not partake in the feasts and the worship unless they became proselytes. Individuals could turn to Jehovah, profess belief in him as the one true God, and become a proselyte, okay? But nations as a whole sometimes were excluded. Let me give you an example. Ruth. Where was Ruth from? Yeah, and the Moabites were enemies. But yet Ruth and her mother-in-law Naomi, they turned to Jehovah. They believed in Jehovah. I think Naomi was originally from Judah. But they went back to the land, and of course Ruth, being a Moabitess, she went with Naomi, and you know the story. She ended up marrying Boaz, and Ruth was the grandmother of King David, who of course out of David came our Savior. So individuals could convert. All right, so with that in mind, I think rather than get into this, I think I'm going to stop right here and go over the prayer list, because I don't want to just barely get started, have to go back next week and repeat. Sometimes we have to do that, but. Because there's a lot here. There's a lot of categories. Thank you. It's so thoughtful of you. Continue to pray for the church. We desire that God give us our best year ever. The church was founded in 2008. We are now in 2023. Can you believe that? Pray for our nation. There is a Speaker of the House now, and I don't know if you noticed, but people were freaking out, thinking it was just awful what those 20 members were doing. But what they were doing was the right thing, because a lot of the same old nonsense would have continued on, you know, like going through bills in the back room and bringing out a 4,000-page document and dropping it on the desk of the congressmen and women and saying, we're going to vote on this tomorrow. That's going to be stopped. They're going to start doing business like it's supposed to be done. So I'm glad it happened. It wasn't that big a deal. It was only a few days. And now there's been a lot of concessions where things hopefully, will be different. But we need to pray for our nation. There's going to be a lot of fighting the next 2 years with a Democrat Senate, Democrat President, and Republican barely having the majority in the House. There's going to be some battles. And, of course, the media is going to be all pro-Dem and condemn everything the Republicans try to do. So keep that in mind when you hear the news. Pray for Ukraine's situation there. Got some decisions to make regarding Ukraine. Remember, that nation has a lot of corruption. We're dumping a lot of money in that place. Need to know where it's going. What do you think? You think we should know where it's going? Billions and billions and billions of dollars to secure their borders, and we won't secure our own?
I forget the name of the congressman. It was one of the 20. He said, we are not going to give any more money to Ukraine until we take care of our border.
Excellent. Man or woman after my own heart. I mean, I feel awful for the Ukrainian people. I know you do too. I mean, awful. I feel awful. I can't imagine. Can't even begin to imagine what that would be like. To have your family split apart, family members die, home destroyed, run out of the country in many cases. I can't imagine. It's awful. It's awful. All because of a lunatic. But that doesn't mean that we blindly just dump billions and billions and billions. If we had the money, we were rolling in the dough. That's one thing. We got to borrow it. How dumb. Well, I'm going to go borrow billions from my enemy in China, and I'm going to give it to. Come on. That's dumb. Law enforcement, pray for Good News Club. Pray Mark's going to have more tests. Pray for Becca. She had an echocardiogram, and she's got to go see a cardiologist to read part of it because it makes no sense to her. Missy Nixon, serious health issue. She had a fall beside all the other problems she has. What's it called? HLN? Is that H?
HLH.
HLH. Evidently, it's a neurological disease, very serious. And she was actually a school teacher that had won Morgan County Teacher of the Year at one point. And Annandale worked in the same school with her. And she was an excellent teacher. And now, I mean, she's just a shell of herself. Not very old. I don't think she's probably much early 50s maybe, huh? And her husband's had to quit his job to take care of her. So it's really, really, really serious situation. Pray for Missy. Bill Nicholson. Judy is doing well. Fred needs some more tests, but still putting one foot before the other. Here you are. So pray for Fred. Needs a valve replacement. My friend Mike, the HVAC man, very quiet about what's really going on with him. Other than the brain bleed, I know he's got other issues. He won't even tell Gary who was working with him some. So pray for Mike. He's got some serious health issues. Poor Sherry. Sherry's got her first black eye. Told you got to watch. You can't be mouthing off. Now, she had a fall. She said that I testified that week before you fell that I had fallen. And she said she felt like she should follow her pastor. And so she rolled down the steps as well. But thankfully, you're okay. The first thing I thought of when I heard you fell, I said, now, isn't that something? She's trying.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No. No, I wouldn't either. Continue to pray. I tell you what, more of a praise at this point, but that football player whose heart stopped, I read that it stopped twice. It didn't. It stopped on the football field. They got it going again. And anyway, he's awake, and first thing he asked when he woke up was who won the game. And they were concerned. They were concerned that he would have neurological damage. And often when you have that kind of situation, you wake up, you don't remember, you know, what happened. Well, he immediately, who won? And he's done Zoom chats and everything else. So he's doing super. It appears there's no lasting damage. I don't know about the heart, but as far as I think he'll be playing football again. Just a young fellow, 24 years old. But God answers prayer. Lori has surgery on Thursday. She went to Dr. Hashem, found out that she had lost a lot of blood, obviously over a long period of time. She was experiencing shortness of breath, and legs felt real heavy, and was very weak, and found out that she had lost a bunch of blood. And so they admitted her, they pumped her, gave her blood, and in the process of doing tests, they did a colonoscopy and found a mass. Don't know exactly what the mass is. They took a biopsy, but she's going to have whatever it is has to be removed, and it's going to be removed on Thursday, either here or in Winchester. She wants to have it done here. Doctor only has one day a week here on Thursdays, and if he has an opening, he'll do it here. If not, it'll have to be done down in Winchester. So pray for Lori. She's home now. She got home Friday evening, and she feels a lot better since she got her blood replaced and was glad to be home. Good spirits, so pray for her. Mary and Leonard should be coming here directly. She is having bronchial issues yet again. She is going to get checked. They want her to go to a heart doctor and make sure it's not heart-related. But she was coughing when she woke up, so she and had to clear out her bronchial tubes before they came. Also pray for the Luttrell family, death in the family. Is that a distant relative through marriage, I think, from what I understand, Gary? Is that true? First cousin.
Her dad and my dad were brothers.
Okay. What was her first name?
Joanne.
Joanne. I want to write that down here. So pray for the Luttrell family. As Joanne has departed this life. All right. Anybody else have a name you want to add to the prayer list? All right, let's stand together. We'll take these requests to the Lord. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. And we see answered prayer over and over and over again. You've been so good. And you are a great, great God that hears our requests. And Lord, you often answer. You always answer, but often you answer yes. And we're thankful, Lord, for the yeses and the noes, and we're also thankful for the times you tell us we must wait to hear an answer. And we pray, Lord, for our church. We pray, Lord, that we'd see souls saved and lives changed, people added to the membership. Lord, help us to be faithful in giving the gospel to those that are lost. And Father, we pray that you continue to direct our path. We desire your will, and Lord, we want to honor you. This is your church, and we're your servants. We pray, Lord, for our nation. The situation is bleak, but Lord, where you, since you're on the throne, there's always hope. We pray that you'd save our nation, send revival that we desperately need. We pray for Ukraine, ultimate victory for them. And Lord, we pray that you would defeat Putin and his army. And please provide the needs of the people of Ukraine. And Lord, it's such a tragic, tragic situation, Lord. We pray that you would send salvation and peace to those people and provide their needs. We pray for law enforcement, continued protection for them. We thank you for their service and pray you bless Good News Club tomorrow as we meet again tomorrow afternoon. We pray, Father, for the names, the ones we've listed, those that have physical needs, those that have upcoming tests, those that have upcoming surgery that we called out to you already. We pray, Father, you'd meet each and every one of these needs according to your perfect will. And Father, we rest in you. You are the great physician. If you desire to heal directly, we know you can and you will if that be your will. And Lord, if you choose to use doctors and or medicine, we know that you can heal that way as well. So Lord, may your will be accomplished. We pray for the Luttrell family during this very difficult time of loss. Father, minister to the family. Draw lost family members and friends to the Savior through this loss. Father, we pray you'd bless the coming hour as we again look to your word. We sing praises to you. We pray and we give and we fellowship together. Lord, may you be pleased and may we draw nearer to you and nearer to each other as a result of being here today. Thank you for being a faithful God. Thank you for our Savior who loved us and gave himself for us and continues to love us and stick closer than a brother. In Jesus' name, amen.